This is Digital Story Podcast number 610, November 21st, 2017. Today's theme is The Conservation Movement Needs a Champion. I'm Derek Story. I've been thinking about my time at WildSpeak ever since I returned from Washington, D.C. Through all the talks and powerful images, something had been missing. At first, I couldn't put my finger on it. Then today, I figured it out. Conservation needs a champion. It needs a modern-day Roosevelt or Gandhi or some powerful figure that can get broader attention. And the reason why I feel that way is the subject of today's TVS podcast. Outside the Embassy of India in Washington, D.C. is the Mahatma Gandhi Memorial. It pictures him on the move with the inscription, "My life is my message." And this is one of the things that I really love about Washington, D.C., is that you can just take off on a walk and you will see a cool embassy, you will see a statue, you'll see a plaque, you'll see a home of some famous person like Woodrow Wilson or something. I mean, around every corner, there seems to be something very interesting. But I really remember the first time that I saw the Gandhi statue because it surprised me. I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know it was there. And I'm just walking down the street, and there he is. And it's in the fall, and there's these beautiful colored trees around him. And it's very inspirational. It feels like him. And those are the statues that I really love, are the ones that feel like what we know about the person. And I really wish that he was here today, because I would love to talk to him. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, not only represented, but affected change for millions of people. And I'd love to talk to him about conservation in our planet. I think he would be interested in that conversation. The reason why I bring this up is that this problem sort of surfaced in my mind and in my heart after 2 days of attending WildSpeak there in Washington, D.C. Now, the problem wasn't inspiration or education. I learned a lot. I was inspired. I was moved. It was fantastic. The speakers were great. I learned so much. One of my favorite talks was Long Distant Migrants by a photographer and naturalist, Garrett Vinn. And I'm sure I mispronounced his last name. It's V-Y-N. He's a Nikon ambassador, an amazing photographer, and really had a great story to tell. The birds that he talked about and photographed, they traverse our globe. I mean, literally, they go from one end of the globe to the other. And the reason why I liked his story so much was that it really showed how interconnected we all are and how, you know, these birds going from one part of the world to the other part of the world and then back again every year, how it shrinks our planet in the sense that everything is related. And if we damage one area, let's say a stop on their migratory path, how it can affect the whole thing, in a sense, how it can affect the whole planet. Talks like that really helped me understand the big picture, I think are very important. After learning all this and seeing these great pictures for a couple days, the problem was that I didn't see a path forward with all the challenges that conservation is facing and that these conservation photographers were talking about. But I don't see a cause that has a dynamic leader. And I think until the conservation movement has its Gandhi, the progress is going to be difficult. Now, at this point, you might be thinking, well, what about Al Gore? No disrespect to Mr. Gore, but he's too much of a polarizing figure. He's not exactly what I'm talking about here. What I need, what I want for this movement, and when I mean the conservation movement, I mean just bringing balanced dialogue to the table as we make big decisions for our countries, for our communities, and, you know, for our planet. Just, I want balanced conversation. That's all I'm really talking about. And so I think we need someone who can talk to the other half of the aisle. And of course, you know, what we're seeing in the U.S. and in other places right now is that all the conversations are just being isolated within their own groups. So, for instance, at Wildspeak, conservation photographers were talking to other conservation photographers or biologists or botanists or whomever, people who are involved in the conservation movement or who believe in it. For instance, I didn't see a round table, for example, where we have conservationists and then we have, you know, businessmen who, you know, their plan is to expand the economy, talking about, let's say, a particular area, maybe a migratory stop that's being threatened, and why the business folks think it's important to build there, and, you know, why the conservationists think it's important to find a way to preserve some of that land, and then have that conversation. And there's all sorts of opportunities for these sort of things. You know, another big topic, and one that's very hard to watch, is poaching. And let's say that elephants being killed for their tusk, or, you know, any number of examples that we could use for poaching. And you look at a picture of a rhino that has been killed, you know, for his tusk, and it just is very difficult to look at it. And right away, you know, the emotion is that you can't stand the person that did that. You know, you feel anger towards that person. Why would that person do that? Then on the other hand, though, maybe the person that did that is a person that is just literally living from day to day, trying desperately to provide food for his or her family, and that this is one of the only ways that they could figure out to generate enough revenue to do that. So now we have more of a balanced problem. And, you know, how do we find a middle ground? How do we find a middle ground between poaching and breaking that law, but, you know, also helping people provide for their families? And that's the kind of thing where you need leadership. That's the kind of thing where you need someone that has the people skills and the vision and the charisma to navigate through waters like that, and not just have this one-sided conversation where, you know, everything is all, you know, build in the economy, or preserve and save everything. Reality is somewhere in between those things. So I was thinking, okay, what is an example in my mind of a person that was able to do that? Well, how about C. Everett Koop? He's kind of an interesting fellow, In 1981, President Ronald Reagan nominated C. Everett Koop to be our Surgeon General. And, you know, this is an office that we typically don't hear much about. And to boot, this is a conservative physician that was nominated by a conservative president. And so you're really not thinking that a whole lot is going to change. And I think to some degree, the Reagan administration didn't think a whole lot was going to change. C. Everett Koop, I think, had other ideas. And he became really a lightning rod for all sorts of major issues. So one of the first things that Koop did in one of his reports of the Surgeon General was that he reported that nicotine has the addictiveness similar to that of heroin or cocaine. And his report actually was somewhat unexpected, especially by those who expected him to maintain the status quo in regard to his office position on tobacco products. During his tenure, in 1984, Congress passed legislation providing for new health warning labels on cigarette packs and required advertising to include these labels. And those labels, you know, remain in place today. Also in 1984, Koop issued a challenge to Americans to create a smoke-free society in the United States by the year 2000. As Surgeon General, he released 8 reports on the health consequences of tobacco use, including the first report on health consequences of involuntary tobacco smoke exposure, what we call today secondhand smoke. He raised all these issues. He brought all these issues to light. Now, during his tenure as Surgeon General, smoking rates in the United States declined significantly from 38% to 27%. That is some serious headway. That is real change brought about by someone who took a leadership role in an area that he believed in and actually made changes for a whole country. And living out here in California right now, what has changed with smoking is profound. You know, now, of course, you can't smoke in any public buildings. You can't even smoke right outside of public buildings. Secondhand smoke has been identified as a major problem in terms of, you know, adverse health effects. And just in general, tobacco use has declined dramatically, all started by a Surgeon General. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about that we need at the conservation level. And as much as I enjoy looking at the photographs, and as much as I enjoy learning about how, you know, our global ecosystem works, I just really feel like the conversation is very one-sided right now, and I'm craving to have a more balanced conversation. And, you know, how do we balance economic growth with taking care of the planet? And, you know, one of the things, one of the angles that came up at WildSpeak was, well, maybe we can appeal to legacy. Is this something that maybe you would like to be part of your legacy, which is leaving the planet in not as bad shape for the next generation and the generation that follows? I don't know. You know, I always think that long-term goals are very difficult to convince people, and especially if you're trying to get them to change their mind. To roll all this up, as you can tell, it was very interesting a few days for me in Washington, D.C., in the sense that I thought I was going to come back and, you know, tell you about this photographer and that photographer and how good they were and how inspired I was and, you know, how important these topics are. I thought that's what I was going to do. But as it turned out, I think what I'm really craving and what I really want is for both sides to have a conversation that we can tune into and listen to. A conversation where both sides are trying to present their side as honestly as possible and try to work things out and try to find some sort of middle ground. I think middle ground is what I'm craving, whether it's in the conservation movement or anywhere else. It's hard to find right now. I think that education continues to be a very important part of all of this because, and we did see examples of this at WildSpeak, if we educate people about, you know, a balanced life going forward in terms of balancing conservation with economic concerns, the children that are exposed to this and learn about this, one of them may grow up to be the next great leader, either of a country or a cause or whatever, and you don't know. So I think ongoing education, balanced education, honest education, at least as honest as a person can make it, I think becomes critical to this. The other thing that I will say, that those of you that shoot landscape and nature, that continue to share your images, just don't keep them on your hard drive. Share your images and talk about how much you value these places that you go to. And, you know, how important that you think they are and, you know, any anecdotal information that goes with it so that in as many ways possible, keep the conversation going. Pictures are very powerful. We all know this. All of us can share our pictures and at least, you know, get that information out there to try to balance the conversation as much as possible. I'm a little surprised by my takeaway from there, but I also think it's a very honest and in-step position to take right now. So I'll have this posted in the show notes. And, you know, if you have any thoughts on this, I would love to hear them. I just want those generations to have some of the same opportunities that I've had in terms of seeing the beauty of nature and in terms of, you know, having a healthy planet. So how did my packing go? All right, let's get down to the practical stuff here. So I thought it went really well, okay, first of all. But I had a surprise there also. But just in general, for instance, the power pack that I took, I really did need it. I was in that situation again where I could not find plugs. The plane that I was on both ways did not have power at the seats. And I found myself having to use that power pack a lot. So, you know, of the things that I suggested, The Power Pack definitely became a biggie. The other thing that worked out really well was me preparing work ahead of time to do while I was traveling. And I was very productive both ways. I surprised myself, actually, in how productive I was because I had work that was plane ready, so to speak, and airport waiting room ready and all that kind of stuff. So I thought that part went really well. In terms of my packing cubes and the clothing and all that, that went super well. It just went great. So I was really happy about all of my preparations for the trip. I felt like that I was in as good a shape as I've ever been on a West Coast to East Coast trip and back again. Felt like I was as productive and energetic as ever. However, there was one surprise that I didn't mention in last week's show that really turned out to be the biggest of them all. I was coming back late from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco, and there was a slight delay. It wasn't too bad, but the bottom line was I was going to show up at San Francisco Airport about 12:30. And you know, by the time I get out to my car, and then I have another hour and a half drive home, that's getting kind of late, especially after travel. And remember, I'm going from East Coast to West Coast, you know, so there's a time change and all that, too. And I've been up for a long time. So then I always worry a little bit about, you know, staying alert on that drive home after a really long trip like that and coming back very late at night. And normally I can't sleep on the plane. I think I talked about this before. So, but I had this thing, and I put it in my camera bag. I didn't talk about it on the show. And it's an inflatable neck pillow. It's an inflatable neck. It's like Samsonite or something. And I think I bought it on an impulse buy a couple years ago. And I always carry it with me. And basically, it fits in my camera bag that I have with me at the seat. And I can blow it up pretty quickly. It doesn't take much because it's not that big. It's not like you're blowing up an air mattress or anything. So I can blow it up fairly quickly. It's pretty comfortable. It has like this sort of suede kind of cover on the outside. And I've even learned how not to blow it up too much. You know, don't overinflate it, but just underinflate it slightly, you know, so that it's more comfortable. So I had the layover in Dallas coming back. So I went from Dulles to Dallas. Dulles to Dallas. And then I caught my connection. I made my connection without too much time to spare, but I did make it. So then I had from Dallas to San Francisco. Well, I had gotten most of my work done on the first trip. And I was starting to feel pretty tired, and I was thinking about this drive home. So, and I had an exit row seat, so I had a little bit of leg room. So I go, okay, let's break out the neck pillow and see what I can do here. So I broke out the neck pillow, blew it up, kind of got as comfortable as I can get. And I actually slept for like an hour and a half flying from Dallas to San Francisco. And it was great. It was great. And it was all because of that neck pillow. I could get comfortable enough to fall asleep. So I had this good sleep. And then I woke up in time, you know, where I had like 15 or 20 minutes before you know, I had to get off the plane. So I had time to kind of gather myself. You know how you're a little groggy after a nap sometimes. I deplaned and got out to my car and had a good, safe drive home. And I'm sure that nap, that hour and a half nap, had everything to do with me having a nice drive home. So I just want to add that to the list. We'll make that number 6 or 5A for those of you that are pierced about the 1 through 5. The inflatable neck pillow that compresses and fits in your camera bag, but yeah, you can blow it up. Wow, really nice and saved my bacon. So bottom line is packing went great. I had that one positive surprise, and overall, I was very, very pleased with my preparation and execution. And I will also say that American Airlines did a very nice job flying out to the east and getting me back in good shape. I want to talk about this fantastic Black Friday sale from Audioblocks. So last 2 weeks, I've been talking about Videoblocks, which is, you know, this amazing service that has all this video footage royalty-free that you can download and use in your projects. But, you know, this company, Storyblocks, they also have audio blocks, and then they have still photos. And the audio blocks area of the business just had this, like, this killer announcement today that I wanted to share. I don't even know if I'm supposed to talk about this or not, but I saw it, you know, when I was nosing around on the site, and I go, man, I got to share this. So here's the deal. They have this Black Friday preview sale going on for audio blocks, where you get unlimited downloads from over 100,000 royalty-free music tracks, loops, and sound effects on Audioblocks for only $49 for your first year. So for $49, unlimited downloads. So that's $100 off their normal price. Now, their $149 is a great price as it is. And I can tell you this because I just paid $69 for one royalty-free audio track. $69 for one track. I've paid anywhere from $29, the cheapest that I've got, up to $129 per track for my royalty-free audio that I use in my projects, including the digital story. The music that I use for digital story was a $69 purchase. $69 for one track. $49 for an entire year of unlimited downloads that you can use for your slideshows, for your movie projects, for anything, right? Because it's royalty free. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about putting it on YouTube. You don't have to worry about putting it on Vimeo. When they say, hey, do you have permission to use this music that's part of your slideshow that you're putting on YouTube or that you're using with the movie? And you go, yes, because it's royalty free. There'll never be a problem. All of that for $49. So I had to change gears to talk about this because, I mean, I'm doing this myself, right? I'm thinking, wow, I can change music more often. I can add more music to my projects because I have a whole year's worth. All you have to do is go to videoblocks.com. So this week, I'm not sending you to our landing page because this offer is on a related page. And I'm probably not going to get any credit for it or anything, but I don't care. It's too good of a deal. All you have to do is go to videoblocks.com and then click on the I Want Unlimited Audio button. It's right there on top. And I would imagine that this deal is going from now, right now, because they call it a Black Friday preview sale, probably all the way through Black Friday, and then it's probably off after that. So this is something that you don't want to dilly-dally too much on. $49 for unlimited royalty-free audio for a year. Wow. I'm really pleased about this. All right. So anyway, and I also want to thank Storyblocks for being a sponsor of the show. They didn't tell me about this. I hope it's okay that I talk about it. But, you know, this is more good stuff from these people. I really like them a lot. So as we get closer to December and the beginning of our Nimble Software series for our Inner Circle members on Patreon, folks are signing up, and I just think it's just really cool. I have such a good feeling about this. And if you haven't listened to the show for a couple of weeks, what am I talking about? I'm talking about that our Inner Circle members, people who pledge $5 or more a month through Patreon, we got a tile on all the pages of the digital story. They're also going to have access to something new starting in December called our Nimble Software series, where I publish two videos on two different topics each month, just for our Inner Circle members. Software training, covering topics such as Capture One Pro, Lightroom, Luminar, and Photos for Mac OS. And the two videos will be on two different software, and I'm going to do it for the whole year. And I like to do it after that, but right now, this is going to be all through 2018. This content will only be available to our Inner Circle members, and this is going to be good stuff. Running from 10 to 30 minutes long. You'll have access to it all year. You can watch it as many times as you want. The only thing I don't want you to do is post it online for other people who aren't Inner Circle members. Don't do that. But I know you wouldn't anyway. You guys are cooler than that. And I also just want to thank not only all of our new members, I think somewhat inspired by this cool new benefit for our Inner Circle members, but also the folks that have been sponsoring this show for the last year. Thank you all so much. I just really appreciate it. And I just feel like we have some great traction here. And I'm really excited about this project. And December is going to be here before we know it. Then we'll be talking about the videos themselves. And then finally, big thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. Boy, there was a killer deal for the Canon PIXMA, the Pro 100 this week. Did you guys see that on B&H? It still might be going on. I tweeted about it, and I think I put it on Facebook too, but I know I tweeted about it, where you end up getting the PIXMA 100, the professional printer, it's a 13-inch printer, after rebates for $79. And that included like $49 worth of goodies to go with it. And I actually talked to one of our Virtual Camera Club members, and I said, did you actually get the rebate? And he said, yes, I got the rebate actually really fast. So the rebate's like $250. And so the bottom line price was $79 for this really good printer with $49 worth of goodies. You really can't miss. And that's the kind of thing that can get you going on printing, right? I mean, suddenly you've got this great printer, and then you're going, all right, maybe I should make some stuff. If you didn't see that deal, just go to B&H and nose around. If you go to B&H, I'd really like it if you clicked on the tile first on the digital story and then nosed around, because if you decide to do something, then that helps the site. But either way, I think that deal is still going, and it's a great way to get into printing. And, you know, then once you're into printing, then you have the support of Red River Paper for tutorials, for paper, for all the supplies that you'll need, including ink for your new printer, all that good stuff. And, you know, that's what they do. That's what they do. They support the people that want to make great prints. All right, and they have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a great Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Okay, well, next week, I think what I'm going to do next week is I've been working on this great holiday gift list of goodies, and, you know, the gifts can be for anyone, including yourself, and some nice stuff on there, some fun stuff. Most of it's very affordable, and so we'll talk gadgets next week. How does that sound? All right. Until then, have a great week. And those of you in the U.S., have a terrific Thanksgiving. Give thanks for the things that you have. And we'll all reconvene next Tuesday. Until then, bye-bye now.